My name's Stuart Kelly. I'm the author of Scotland, The Man Who Invented a Nation. During the King's Jaunt, James Stuart of Dunerin wrote, "Sir Walter had ridiculously made us appear as a nation of Highlanders, and the bagpipe and tartan was the order of the day." Scott's son-in-law and future biographer, John Gibson Lockhart, voiced a similar discontent. Whether all the arrangements, which Sir Walter dictated or enforced, were conceived in the most accurate taste is a different question. It appeared to be very generally thought, when the first programme was issued, that kilts and bagpipes were to occupy a great deal too much space. With all respect for the generous qualities with which the Highland clans have often exhibited, it was difficult to forget that they had always constituted a small and almost always an unimportant part of the Scottish population. And when one reflected how miserably their numbers had of late years been reduced in consequence of the selfish and hard-hearted policy of their landlords, it almost seemed as if there was a cruel mockery in giving so much prominence to their pretensions. But there could be no question but that they were not picturesque, and their enthusiasm was so sincere not to be catching, so that by and by, even the coolest-headed Sassenach felt his heart warm to the tartan. Scott was assisted in creating his plaided panorama and Celtified pageantry by members of the various, and often mutually antagonistic, societies that had been set up to preserve, promote, and discuss the Highland way of life. In hints addressed to the inhabitants of Edinburgh and others in prospect of His Majesty's visit, Scott adopted yet another pseudonym, not the author of Waverley, but the Old Citizen. This pamphlet dealt with all the intricacies of dress and etiquette required, asserted the king's Scottish lineage, and reminded the readers, "We are the clan and our king is the chief." Scott specified which dress uniforms were to be worn, gave details of the proper outfits for the middling classes, blue coat, white waistcoat, white nankeen trousers, and a saltire cockade affixed to the hat with heather, and was most insistent about the grand ball in the assembly rooms. No gentleman is to be allowed to appear in anything but the ancient Highland costume. Scott himself wore trews throughout the proceedings, rather than a kilt, and although plenty of images of Scott and accounts of his appearance mention a plaid, he seems never to have actually worn a kilt. His excuse during the jaunt was that on the King's first night, still aboard the Royal George, Scott was invited to dinner. The King famously welcomed him with the words, "Sir Walter Scott, the man in Scotland I most wish to see." At the end of the evening, Scott asked if he might take, as a gift, the glass from which the King had been drinking his customary cherry brandy. Exhausted, back at his home in Castle Street, he flung himself on the chair, forgetting the glass was in his pocket, and scarring his leg. The whole issue of legs was to be part of the jaunt's most memorable image. Scott persuaded George IV to wear a kilt. The King agreed, but thought bare royal knees rather a step too far, so wore pink flesh-coloured stockings beneath his kilt.